Week 5, Jonah. The figure of Jonah makes for a fascinating study in the New Testament. On the one hand, no text from the book of Jonah is ever quoted in the New Testament. Yet, on the other, Jonah himself is key to some of the teachings of Christ in the Gospels. In this way, Jonah stands apart from all the other minor prophets referenced in the New Testament, for, as we shall see, it is his life rather than his words that are seen as prophecy. A perfect case in point is Matthew 12. This comes on the heels of chapter 11, in which Jesus provides evidence to John the Baptist's followers that he is Israel's Messiah. His evidence, in essence, is a report of his miraculous signs. Quote, "The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." Matthew 11:5. In other words, Jesus recounts to John's followers that his ministry is accompanied by the signs of God's kingdom breaking into the mortal realm. It is somewhat surprising, then, when in Matthew 12 the Pharisees and teachers of the law come to Jesus asking for precisely these signs. "Teacher," they say, "we want to see a sign from you." This is Matthew 12:38. Yet Jesus says this in response: "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now something greater than Solomon is here." Matthew 12:39-42. Why, in this instance, does Jesus rebuke the religious leaders by citing the example of the prophet Jonah? In Jewish thinking, the third day represented the day of God's salvation. We see this in various places, such as Hosea 6:2, which says, "After 2 days he will revive us, on the third day he will restore us, that we may live in his presence." So Jesus, in showing that his coming resurrection was the ultimate fulfillment of God's third day, he refers to the prophet Jonah. But why Jonah? Jesus merely could have referenced the third day idea in general, or quoted another passage such as Hosea 6:2. Why did he explicitly refer to the sign of Jonah? Jesus referred to Jonah because, in so doing, he drew a parallel between multiple parts of the prophet's life and his own. Not only did the prophet's life, by spending 3 days in the belly of the fish, prefigure Christ's death and resurrection, it also prefigured the message of salvation being joyfully received by the Gentiles. Just as Jonah's preaching to the Ninevites produced repentance beyond that of the Israelites, so Jesus' good news would prove more revolutionary among the Gentiles than the Jews. And this, Jesus says, is an indictment on the Jewish leaders who demanded a sign. "The Gentile queen of the south will rise at the judgment and will judge this generation and condemn it," Jesus says in Matthew 12:42. So, while with other minor prophets the New Testament cites key texts as prophecy, here it cites the very life of Jonah as prophecy. As one scholar described it, in the other minor prophets the focus falls on, quote, "a few select passages." But in the case of Jonah, the focus falls on, quote, "the biography of the prophet who is considered a type of Christ." Thus, the story of Jonah prefigures the gospel of Jesus, the Son of Man, his death, descent, proclamation, and resurrection, end quote. This is not unlike what we have already seen with the life of Israel, God's firstborn son, prefiguring the life of Christ. Here the difference is that one Israelite, rather than the whole people, prefigures the final Son of God.